The following is a mantra meditation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 21st, 2011 in Klaipėda, Lithuania.
So, we have come to Klaipėda to talk about mantra meditation. I've been doing this mantra meditation now for over 40 years. And it's the most wonderful thing I've ever discovered in my whole life. This is something that everyone should do. Because this gets you reconnected. Gets you reconnected with yourself and with the Supreme Self, the source of all existence. One can be very successful in this world, make a lot of money, become powerful and famous. But if you're not connected with yourself, it's not satisfying. But if you're connected with yourself and the Supreme Self, no matter what your position may be, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're famous, whether everybody hates you, whether nobody even knows about you, whether you're weak, whether you're strong, whether you're old, whether you're young, whether you're sick, whether you're healthy, whatever you may be. If you can be connected with yourself and the Supreme Self through the art of mantra meditation, you're going to feel good every day. You're going to feel great. You're going to be loving it. Every minute of your life, you'll just be loving it. Because by our very nature, we are blissful. The Supreme Person, the source of all existence, is eternal. He's full of knowledge. He's full of bliss. And we are qualitatively one with that Supreme Person. Just like a drop of ocean water has the same chemical composition as the entire ocean, we are tiny drops of that Supreme. So those same qualities of eternity, knowledge, and bliss that are found in the Supreme, we also have them in us. So why are we in anxiety about our temporality? Facing existential nausea at the prospect of death. Existential nausea? Let's see, how do you translate any? Nausea means like throwing up. Existential, you know what that means? Regarding existence?
Existential nausea. And second part?
Huh?
Second part?
Facing existential nausea at the prospect of death. I'll just state it simply. Scared of dying. Why? In other words, if you're afraid of dying, you're not connected. You're disconnected from your actual nature. Because you do not die. Only the external covering of your body dies, but you do not die. So the Supreme Person is eternal. You are also eternal. The Supreme Person has unlimited knowledge. You also have unlimited knowledge. The Supreme has unlimited happiness, and you also have unlimited happiness. So, why are we not feeling unlimitedly happy? What are we doing wrong? We're striving so hard to be happy, but yet we're facing so many anxieties. Why? Because we don't have enough material facility? Nope. The rich, famous, and powerful, they're full of anxiety. So the material facility is not what makes you happy. It's being connected with yourself. That's what's going to give you the happiness. So this art of mantra meditation is the art of reconnecting with yourself. You may have a very nice lamp, you see. But if it's not plugged into the electrical current, it's useless. So you may have a good brain. You may have a very good body. You may have so many talents, so many opulences. But if you are not connected with the source of existence, it's wasted. So mantra meditation is the art of reconnecting with that powerhouse. And then once you're reconnected, your brain becomes surcharged. Your body becomes surcharged. All of your talents and your abilities and your opulences, they all become surcharged. Because now they're all reconnected with the source of existence. And the amazing thing about this art of mantra meditation that's coming from the Bhagavad Gita is this. Other people meditate for 20 minutes twice a day, you see. But this meditation is not only while you're chanting, but it's also while you're talking, walking, speaking, everything you do. Just like while I'm speaking to you this very minute, I'm absorbed deeply in transcendental meditation. Do I look like I'm meditating right now? Normally I think meditation, you know, we think that's meditation. But how long they can sit there and do their own? Who's going to pay the bills? You see? But this meditation taught in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna, who was the first student who mastered this art of meditation? Arjuna. He was fully absorbed for 18 days in the most intense battle you could ever imagine in your whole life. And he was in a state of perfect transcendental meditation throughout the entire battle. That meditation made him the most powerful, successful warrior in the entire battlefield. So this meditation is very practical in this age. Everyone needs some material success. This meditation enables you to be materially successful and spiritually successful simultaneously. You don't have to renounce your home and your family and go to the Himalayas and live in a cave to do this meditation. You can remain right here in Klaipeda, going to school, going to work, running your business, whatever you do, your profession. Do whatever you're doing, but learn the art of how to dovetail all of it with the Supreme Person. This is real transcendental meditation. It goes on 24 hours a day. And it's ever increasingly ecstatic. Minute by minute by minute. Once you get into this system, you're going to be feeling really good every day. No matter what's happening, it can be a beautiful spring day. It can be a hellish winter day. It won't matter. Because you are transcendentally situated beyond this material world. Whether you're at home, whether you're going to school, whether you're in an ashram, whether you're in a holy place in India, or whether you're working in some factory job, if you have mastered this art of meditation, you're going to be in bliss all the time. Because you'll see the reality that exists far beyond time and space. And you'll be living in that reality at every minute. Do you realize time and space is relative? In the absolute room, an absolute realm, time and space do not exist like they exist here. You are actually a resident, a citizen of that absolute realm. You're not really Lithuanian. You're not really male. Or female. Or white or black or any of these things. Every one of you is an eternal citizen of that absolute realm beyond time and space. But you have been conditioned by this material nature to identify with a lump of blood and flesh, thinking, this is me. That false identification with a lump of blood and flesh is the source of every one of your anxieties. So what should you do with that false sense of identification? Kick it out. I'm not saying to throw away your body. But stop thinking, I am this body. I'm not saying to get rid of your car, but don't think, I am this car. We have a tendency to think, I am this car. What is the proof? We're driving down the highway, and that needle goes down towards empty. Meaning, oh no, I'm out of gas. But are you out of gas? No, your car is out of gas. So you may say, oh no, I'm getting old. Or oh no, I'm sick. Or oh no, the doctor told me I have terminal cancer. But that's not you. No more than you are running out of gas when the needle goes to empty. No, you are not getting sick. You are not getting old. You are not dying. It's just the bodily covering. That's a. You've had millions of bodies and millions of lifetimes. And in every one of them you had to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. But through this art of transcendental meditation, you will get out of the cycle of birth and death. You regain your original spiritual body in the transcendental kingdom of God. Even while you're walking around here in Klaipeda, you'll be fully reconnected with your eternal identity. And you'll be the happiest person in town, I guarantee you. You're going to have a big smile on your face and people are going to go, wow, I've never seen such a happy person as this. Where are they getting all this joy? Did they just win the lottery? What happened? What's going on? But I guarantee you, when you learn how to do this mantra meditation, you'll be a more lucky person than the person who won the biggest lottery in the history of the universe. Because you, that money you gain by winning the lottery, it comes and it goes. It simply slips through your fingers. You cannot keep it. We come to this world naked, we go naked. I don't care how famous you are, how rich you are, how powerful you are, you lose everything in them. But if you have reconnected yourself with your actual identity and the Supreme Person, that you will never lose. So I was very fortunate to be taught this art of transcendental meditation by my spiritual master, Srila
Prabhupada.
I've come here to help you all to become expert in this art of transcendental meditation. For those of you who are new to it, I want to help you get started. And for those of you who have already been doing it, I want to help you perfect it. This is the duty of a spiritual master. My spiritual master told me that I should be a spiritual master also. So, on his order, with his blessings, I'm acting as a spiritual master to train people how to become perfect in the art of transcendental meditation. That meditation we were already doing in our kirtan. The recommended mantra for meditation in this age of Kali is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There are thousands of bona fide mantras given in the Vedas. But of all the mantras, the Kali Santarana Upanishad says the most powerful mantra is this Hare Krishna mantra. So you can chant any bona fide mantra, you don't have to chant Hare Krishna. But if you want the most powerful, effective, and rapid results, then you best chant Hare Krishna. You can try other mantras if you want, it's okay. You should try Hare Krishna as well, then you can judge by the result. I tried so many different mantras. One guru who gave me a mantra, aing, 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 aing. Then the Buddhists, they taught me some mantra, what was that, Renge Kyoho or something like that. They said, if you chant this, you can get a new car. But what's the good of a new car if you still have to get sick and old and die? And can you imagine that? They're saying there are Buddhists And they're saying, chant this and you get a new car. Is that Buddhism? Lord Buddha sat down under the Bodhi tree so he get the latest model chariot. You see how they perverted the science of mantra meditation. It's just a shame sometimes now how much they've converted the art of mantra meditation. Some of them say, well, you chant this mantra for 6 months and you become God. The living entity is always subordinate. It's not that you can meditate and become God. When I was preaching at the University of Florida in the USA back in the early 70s, we did a program there on the campus. I gave a lecture there. But we saw there was a poster that had been plastered all over the campus. This poster said this: Jesus meditated and became God. Buddha meditated and became God. Krishna meditated and became God. And now you can meditate and become God. That is completely bogus. Jesus never said that he was the Father. He always said he was the Son of God. Buddha never said that he was God. Actually, Buddha is an incarnation of God. He didn't have to meditate to become God. Nor did Krishna have to meditate to become God. If you are God, you don't have to meditate to become God. You can never lose your position if you're the Supreme. If something could come along and take your power away, that power would be greater than you, and that power would be God, not you. Therefore, the fact that we are suffering in the cycle of birth and death, it proves that we are not God. God is the fire and we are the sparks. If the spark remains in the fire, it remains hot. If the spark is separated from the fire, then it becomes extinguished in due course of time. So by this mantra meditation, you jump back into the fire. You get reconnected with your divine nature. As a spiritual particle and qualitatively one with the Supreme Person. So, we hope that you all will take this process very seriously. That you will chant Hare Krishna. You revive your relationship with that Supreme Person, Lord Krishna. In this way, become free from all anxiety. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. My camera is in the back pocket. All right, any questions?
When we get some material desires, should we avoid it or try to satisfy it?
Just like one may become hungry, want to eat something. So, you don't have to give up eating to become Krishna conscious. But you should offer those foodstuffs to Krishna. Krishna accepts all varieties of food in the category of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grain. So you offer those to Krishna and then take prasadam. Or let's say you want to make a lot of money. Well, you should become a millionaire then. Work hard and become a millionaire. And then you can build a wonderful temple of Krishna here in Klaipeda. So if you have some material desire, then you should engage that in Krishna in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. That's the idea. What kind of material desire are you thinking about?
All kinds of material things, technical things, cars, any kind of thing, technical thing.
Some material technical things like car, like camera, something.
Car is necessary for one's practical life, so one can get car, there's no harm.
Automobiles are naudingas.
You don't need a Rolls Royce, but you know, you can get a comfortable car and there's no problem. One can take whatever is required from a comfortable life, that is allowed. But to live extravagantly, that is a waste of human energy. You live simply, you live comfortably as simply as possible, so that you have more time and energy to cultivate love for God. Like we explained earlier, the train runs on two tracks. Vidyam cha vidyam yashtad vedo vayam saha. There is vidya and avidya. There is knowledge and ignorance. They're both meant to be engaged in Krishna
service.
Ignorance. So this material body is actually just ignorance. But since you have this body, you have to engage it also in Krishna's service. So you take care of your material needs, a place to live, clothes to wear, means of transportation. But turn your home into an ashram, a place of spiritual cultivation. Use your vehicle for Krishna conscious purposes as much as possible. In this way, transform your material life into spiritual life as far as possible. Arjuna had a material occupation as a warrior. He was thinking, well, I have to give this up to become spiritual. But Krishna said, no, you engage in your occupational duty for my pleasure. Does that answer your question? Any other questions?
Ar visi suprato, kaip reikia užsiimti kompensinės meditaciją, ar jiems klausimų grįžus namie?
Ką daryti su mintim, kur iškyla ir
taip? What to do when we're meditating and some thoughts come to us?
Yes, if you're chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and some thought comes which distracts you from your chanting, then lay that thought aside. You can always take care of it later on. Now's your time for chanting, so you have to train your mind to reject other thoughts during your, when you're doing your chanting, you see. When you're chanting, you're having a meeting with God. So if you're meeting with God and the phone rang, would you answer? Would you stop meeting with God to answer the phone, or do you just let the phone ring. You could say the phone call can wait, I'm meeting with God right now. So the mind that is like a distraction, the telephone's ringing, you see. In the middle of the most important meeting of your life, the telephone ring. Let it just ring. Don't answer it. So you're meditating. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And then the phone starts. The mind starts ringing. Answer me, and I say no, no, no. Just wait. Tell the mind to wait and just keep chanting. Hare Krishna, mind, wait. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Mind, wait. And this way, every time the mind says, give up your focus on the mantra and now pay attention to me, you say, no, you wait. Hare Krishna, like that. Mind, wait. In this way. Keep your mind fixed on the mantra. Don't let your mind pull you away. Every time the mind tries to pull you away, tell the mind to wait. Any other questions?
Why it's recommended to chant no more than 16 rounds?
More or no more?
No more.
It has never been recommended not to chant more than 16. No one has ever said, do not chant more than 16 rounds. When we initiate disciples, we have them make a vow that they will chant at least 16 rounds every day. We never say, well, you should just chant 16 rounds. No, you must chant at least 16 rounds every day. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, satatam kirtayanto mam, always chanting my grace 24 hours a day. So if you can chant 32 rounds, 64 rounds, 128 rounds every day, that's great. Keep going. If you have nothing else to do, don't go to the movies, just keep chanting. What will the movies give you? Some temporary diversion of the mind, that's all. But by this chanting, you'll be able to turn on a cinema within your heart. Where you can see Krishna's eternal pastimes happening right within your heart. Live coverage. So keep chanting. Don't waste your time going to the movies. Next question.
If I don't chant 16 rounds, some desires come to me, I want to smoke and like this. So how to avoid these things?
Well, one has to analyze what is the advantage of smoking. Smoking means you're shortening your lifespan. You're subjecting yourself to heart disease, lung disease. Plus, it's very expensive also in smoke. Someone asked, people actually would love, most people who smoke would like to give it up, but they're addicted to it, they can't. So how to get rid of the addiction? Well, you just got to replace one addiction with another addiction. If you're addicted to smoking, what is smoking anyway? What is smoking anyway? It's an activity of the tongue. Take the same tongue and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, become addicted to chanting. Chanting will not give you cancer. Chanting is free, it doesn't cost anything. Chanting will not shorten your life, it will lengthen your life. So, you just have to trade in your addictions, that's all. If you can't give up smoking altogether, then smoke one cigarette less each day. If you're smoking 2 packs, if you're smoking, what is it, 20 in a pack? I forget. If you're smoking 40 cigarettes a day, then tomorrow just smoke 39 cigarettes. And the next day 38. The next day 37. In this way, within 40 days, you'll be completely free from smoking. And whenever you want to smoke, just start chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. In this way, you'll be able to give up smoking. Any other questions?
I'm always chanting and always smoking.
Yeah, do you smoke and chant at the same time? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Yes.
You chant and smoke at the same time. Well, you have to increase the intensity of your chanting so there's no room for smoking in the middle of it. If you chant very slowly, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. If you chant slowly, then there's room to smoke. But if you chant very fast, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, there's no room for smoking. So you should speed up your chanting, there won't be any room for smoking. Next question. Huh? Any more questions?
So how practically this meditation is happening? Should we always chant or what?
Actually, the best thing is to chant at least 16 rounds every morning before sunrise. That's the ideal thing. Go deep into chanting first thing in the morning. And that will fix you in transcendental vision for the whole day. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Yamam pashati sarvatra sravang chamai pashyati tashaham na chamashnami satchamina pranashyati. For one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So if you dive deeply into 16 rounds of japa every morning, then you'll be connected the whole day. Just like if you fully charge your mobile phone before you leave the house, then you'll be able to make and receive calls all day long on your phone. But if your phone is only partially charged, your phone will go dead halfway through the day. So the complete charge for your consciousness is 16 rounds. And with that surcharging of your consciousness, you'll be able to connect with Krishna throughout the entire day and everything you do. Do you chant 16 rounds now every day?
If I am doing yoga, should I chant before yoga exercise?
Yes, do the chanting first. Yeah. Do the chanting first and then the yoga. Yeah. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, this is the topmost of all yoga systems. So that means if you're doing Hatha Yoga, if you will chant first, then your Hatha Yoga will become more powerful. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 47, Yoginam api sarvesham mangatena tadatmana shadhavam bhajate yomang same yukta tamo mataha. Of all the yogis, the one who always thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service unto me is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest yogi of all. So, by connecting with Krishna, who is called Yogeshwara, the master of mystic yoga, you become very quickly, you become the topmost yogi. You know the meaning of the word yoga? It doesn't mean physical exercises. Yoga means to link or connect with the Supreme. So the Hatha Yoga system is part of the Ashtanga system, where one gradually brings the mind under control so you can meditate on the Lord within your heart. To perfect the yoga system, the Ashtanga system takes many, many lifetimes. The yogis in India who live in the Himalayas, they are able to slow down their metabolism and live for centuries. They have to do this because it takes many, many hundreds of years, actually even thousands of years, to perfect the yoga system all the way to the conclusion. But this mantra yoga, Hare Krishna mantra, is so powerful yoga. In one short lifetime of 50, 60, 70, 80 years, you can become completely perfect yogi and achieve this perfection. Do you teach yoga also or just practice it?
Only practice.
So kindly add this to your practice and you will find amazing results. This is called, Hare Krishna mantra is called Yoga Accelerator. Any other questions?
I was reading that in the end of Satya Yuga, some intoxication was used.
Which yoga?
In the end of Satya Yuga.
Satya Yuga?
Yes, some intoxication was used. Can you comment on that?
There is a type of intoxication in the heavenly planets called somaras. And that somaras is pretty amazing. Because it doesn't rot your liver. It doesn't make you sick or, you know, doesn't shorten your lifespan. You become more healthy, more intelligent. It's a very amazing intoxicant. If you want to taste the Soma Rasa, you have to qualify yourself by pious activities to go to the higher planets. It may have been available here at the end of the Satya Yuga, I'm not sure. I haven't read about that, but it's definitely available right now in the heavenly planets. But you have to undergo great penances and austerities to qualify yourself to go to the heavenly planet. But even if you do that, the heavenly planets are only temporary. At the end of the universe, when Mahavishnu inhales, all these universals will be destroyed. The heavenly planets will be destroyed. So why do all the penances and austerities, get some temporary benediction to drink Soma Rasa wine? When you can chant Hare Krishna right now and get much more benefit. In other words, Hare Krishna mantra is the supreme intoxicant. It's more powerful than the Soma Ras. It's more subtle. So it takes, one has to become more advanced to actually appreciate it. But if you take training from a bona fide spiritual master, you can become divinely intoxicated every day by chanting Hare Krishna. Completely free of anxiety. Always intoxicated in the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Prabhupada one time told a disciple, he said, just go on chanting, just go on chanting, just go on chanting, and all of your problems will be solved. Any other questions?
Ar yra taip, kad man iš tikrųjų reikia įdėti tam tikrą vis tiek asnezę, kad to kažkam atsispirti ir tą skonį gauti, išlyti tam tikrą.
Tai tiesiog kartuoti, reikia dėti kažkokias pastangas.
Pastangas kažko atsisakyti. Kaip žinom, yra keturi žmonių principai, kurie šiandien žmogui tikrai tai atrodo kaip neįgyvendinamas.
It's enough only to chant, or also we have to renounce something, or put some extra endeavor for something, or it's just enough to just chant.
And the chanting itself will give you a great advancement. And once you've experienced that advancement, if you're greedy for more advancement, Then we can teach you how to accelerate the results from your chanting. It's like this gentleman mentioned here, he smokes also, you see. But if he can give up the smoking, he'll get 10 times more benefit from the chanting. Intoxication was also mentioned. If one can give up, you know, beer and wine and marijuana and LSD and all these kind of things, you see. Then you'll get more benefit. When Prabhupada came and started the movement in New York City in 1966, his first students were all LSD takers. They would take LSD, they would sometimes come to the temple on LSD. They asked him about LSD. And Prabhupada one time said, "Do you think LSD is a very wonderful thing?" He said, "This Krishna consciousness is like a whole room full of LSD." So the point is, if you can give up intoxication, if you can give up meat eating, if you can give up illicit sex, and you can give up gambling, then your chanting is going to take off like a rocket.
Faktas, jeigu atsikratysite tokios nuodėmingos veiklos kaip narkotikų vartojimo, mėsos valgymo, neleistinų lytinių santykių, azartinių žaidimų, tai tokio jūsų kartojimas
kitas grįsi virš. We encourage everyone to chant.
Mes visus skatinam kartoti.
Whether you're a smoker, whether you're a woman hunter, wherever you may be, chant Hare Krishna.
Kad ir kas jūs bebūtumėte, ar cigarečių vartotojas.
In this way you get a higher taste. You think, why should I be running after women? I can run after God. I mean, why should I be getting intoxicated? You know, I can get intoxicated in chanting Hare Krishna. Why should I put a rotten blood and flesh into my stomach? I mean, it's so gross. Some poor animal was murdered so I can gorge on blood and flesh. What kind of low class diet is that? So in this way one can make some advancement, you see. Because once you give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling, and you just chant, you know, at least 16 rounds, you're going to be really, really in a state of transcendental
bliss.
But wherever you're at, chant Hare Krishna. That will give you a very sublime taste. Any other question?
I want to ask, what does it mean, illicit sex?
Oh, illicit sex mean? Sex is actually a very beautiful and wonderful gift given by God. For producing saintly children. In fact, Krishna states very wonderfully in the Bhagavad Gita, Balang balavatang chaham kama vagravirajitam Dharma virudha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshiva. Chapter number 7, text number 11. He says that I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. Without any passion or desire. And I am that sex life which is done according to religious principle. So the act of conceiving a child, it is a beautiful holy sacrament. That is called licit or legal sex. But if one has sex simply for enjoyment, without any desire for having a child, just to gratify the senses, that sex pleasure is detrimental for one's spiritual progress. Why? Because what is the first principle of yoga? I'm not the body. So if I'm not the body, then that means that any attempt to enjoy, to unnecessarily enjoy on the bodily platform is bringing me back down to the material level. Sex pleasure means to titillate my genitals, you see. sexual organs become stimulated. But that's not me. For one who identifies with the material body, sex is the greatest thing. Like, wow, really a heavy-duty pleasure. Ooh. But for one who is not connected with the body, he realizes they're not the body. Sex is a distraction. Because by chanting, you become liberated from the bodily conception. And sex brings you right back down. Yeah, I'm a man. Yeah, I'm a woman. So, the illicit sex means sex, recreational sex, you see. And licit or legal sex is procreational sex. We are not against sex. We have many of the Hare Krishna babies running around our movement. And they are welcome. We like the Hare Krishna babies. The parents, you know, Krishna conscious parents having children, it's great. But sex life just for enjoyment doesn't make sense for a transcendental. Does that answer your question? Okay, next question.
Can we chant in the mind or should we chant loudly?
One can chant in the mind, but it's not so effective. Because the mind is more powerful than a raging wind. To bring the mind under the control, audible chanting is required. It can be soft. It's like you're maybe living at home with your family and you get up early, you don't want to wake them up, you know, because with your chanting. So you can chant softly. But you need to distinctly pronounce and hear each syllable. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see? Even if it's soft, it should be audible. Because it's very difficult to control the mind. But if you have on one hand, you have the tongue vibrating, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and the ear hearing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the mind has nowhere to escape. If you're feeling a little lazy, you think, well, I don't want to have to chant, it's too much work for my tongue. I'm just going to think Hare Krishna. So here I am thinking, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I wonder where that girl is right now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see, in this way, you need to audibly chant Hare Krishna and hear it. That brings the mind under control. Any other questions?
How to chant very clearly, because in the morning tongue is not very flexible and mind is quite sleepy.
Oh, well, you can always take a shower first. And awake you. There's not so many distractions in the morning. It's you just have to become. You have to get up, take bath, put on some fresh. Put on some meditation clothes, like these are my meditation clothes. Put on some fresh clothes just for your meditation. You know, and that'll help you get in the mood.
I mean,
some people get up early and go to work every day.
kurie žmonės keliasi ir dirba.
They train themselves to do that by habit. It's like someone who milks the cows. They have to get up early in the morning to milk the cows every day. They're not like sleeping, you know, pulling the udder and falling asleep. You know. They've trained themselves to be awake while they're milking the cows. By practice. So if you would get up every morning and train yourself, in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, it would become a habit. I remember when I was a kid, I wasn't used to getting up early. But every year when our family would go on vacation, we would get up early in the morning to start that long drive, you see. We were living in Texas, and it's a big, huge state, Texas. And we were going on vacation out in West Texas, like 500 miles. I mean, it's a long drive, you know. It's like further, much further from here than Tallinn or something, very long drive. So we would get up early, early in the morning, and I couldn't believe it. You know, like at 5 o'clock in the morning, my dad would come and wake us up. It was like, felt like I had a ton of, felt like trying to get out from within a ton of bricks that were laying on me. It was so hard to get up, I couldn't believe it. Someone who is not used to getting up early, it seems impossible. But we recommend you visit a Hare Krishna ashram for a few days, where everybody gets up early. The lights come on, everybody goes to the shower, you know, everyone's going around, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's like a vibrant atmosphere at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then we get together in the temple room, we sing and dance, Hare, 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 Hare. And you know, you get all enlivened and revved up, see. So I've been getting up at, you know, now I get up at 2:30 in the morning every day. It seems natural to me. That alarm goes off and time to get up. Take that shower and get those beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
What time are you going to sleep?
Well, I try to go to bed by 9:30, yeah. And then I take a nap in the day, maybe an hour nap in the after lunch. So I can usually get 5 or 6 hours is pretty good for me. I get by 5 or 6 hours. So it's a matter of training. Once you get used to it, you'll love it. This early morning hours will be the sweetest time of the day. When you feel how God is right there with you at every minute. It's so intimate. It's so sweet. You'll love it. Any other question?
When I'm chanting, in the beginning my mind is fixed, but after 3 or 4 rounds, some minds come to mind.
You can say, Krishna, help me, my mind's wandering away. Please, Krishna, help me to keep my mind fixed. Krishna will help you. Whenever your mind starts getting fickle and starts running away, just beg Krishna to help you and he'll bring it back. Help you bring it back. Any other question?
If I wake up early in the morning, my neighbors become disturbed because they hear sounds.
Chant softly. Just like sometimes I'm flying in the airplane. I get up early in the morning in the airplane. Everybody else around me is asleep. Only my wife, Vishnupriya, Devi, Dasi, and I are awake. Everybody else is completely asleep. And we're sitting there chanting. Everybody's sitting around. We chant very softly, so nobody's disturbed. Any other questions?
If you have some certain amount of time for practice, so what is better, to chant all rounds and no time for reading, or chant less rounds and have some time for reading?
Eating or reading?
Reading. Reading books.
Reading. Better to chant first and read later.
But if you have certain time and no time, you have only time limit.
Well, let me see your schedule then. I'll find some more time for you. If you're surrendered, I'll find you some more time. There's so much time for reading. Just a matter, you have to have the desire, that's all. Just like at the end of the day, you can read. You spend every day, you spend the last half hour of it, get it in the evening, get everything done very quickly, and read before you go to sleep. If you can read a half an hour every day, you'll become very advanced in this knowledge in due course of time. All you need is a half an hour every day. Not difficult to squeeze in a half an hour if you work really hard at it.
In the morning I can go to mood and easily chant, but evening after work my mood is different and it's hard to read books.
It's a matter of training. It's a fact. The morning is sattvic and the evening is rajasic. But you gotta learn to train yourself to have a transcendental sandwich. You got two, you know, two pieces of bread. And bread here and bread here in the middle, you got the the lettuce and tomatoes, see? So in the morning you have your meditation, 16 rounds of japa, and you have your lettuce and tomatoes. In the end you have reading. Transcendental sandwich. Okay, so we can stop here. We have now, we have books. Some of you, how many of you already have some of our books? Let's see, you're raising hand. Very good. That's very good. Please read them. And for those of you who don't have books, or those of you who would like to have more books, we have our book table here. And anybody who takes a book tonight, I'll give you a special blessing in the book. You can come up after you get the book, and I'll write a blessing in your book for you.
Labai gerai, kviečiu jūs įsigyti dar daugiau knygų. Kiekvienas, kuris šiandien įsigys knygą, galės ateiti prie mokytojų, mokytojas parašys asmeniškai jums palaiminimą.
So
visiems rekomenduojam namo prisinešti knygą.
So we thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Krishna.